In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Today, now on the third Sunday after the Feast of Epiphany, we have yet another story of our Lord's ministry, a miracle story. And as I said at the Epiphany sermon a few weeks ago, our job during this time before Christmas, the intensity of Lent, is to come and allow these stories to do their job, to bathe our souls. So we come today to calling our Lord's first disciples, two sets of brothers, all of them fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And in the story, Jesus comes and he just says, "Follow me." And there's a shock and awe aspect to this story that they just dropped everything and followed him. I thought, what does that even think about in the boat, stuck with all those broken nets? And they followed Jesus. Some scholars have been embarrassed by this, so they tried to explain it away a little bit. They said, "Oh, well, maybe they knew Jesus. This was just a cherry on top of the sundae, the calling of the question. There was dialogue before, and this was just the final thing." But no, the story that the writers of the gospel make it clear that it's supposed to be a shocking thing. What would make the disciples just drop everything and follow Jesus? And all my life, even as a kid, hearing this story, I've often thought, what would I do? Would I leave my daddy in the boat? And my Sunday school teacher always would ask us that question. I might have told this story before, but I only had one Sunday school my whole life. I went to this small church. They had no fancy programs, no youth groups necessarily. But and yet, Jesus taught the adults, but he blessed the children. Children are blessed. I think of our boys and girls choir and the kids we have, and kind of all the people here. If they feel blessed, they stay, and their faith grows. And I felt blessed, even though this is somewhat of a poor congregation. Can you imagine that? Episcopal and poor at the same sentence, huh? And but no one would teach Sunday school. They said, "Please." And a 72-year-old woman came forward, never taught before. It was Trudy Starr, and she said, "I'll try it." And she took us from third grade to 12th grade. And always at the end of whatever story we were studying, she said, "Now what would you all have done?" And I remember she said that at this story, and I was wide-eyed. What would I have done? Well, I now, today, want to see this story with a bit of a different emphasis. It might explain maybe what would you have done, what I would have done. And to help me understand the story a little differently, I credit my study of Spanish. By the way, we have our Spanish Mass tonight. I want to thank this congregation for your support. It's small, but I think in time, when the pain wears off of a priest with North Carolina accent speaking Mexican Spanish, but it would be a beautiful ministry. But when I studied Spanish, I realized they use accents. And a word with the accent, the same word without it, means something entirely different. And God forbid you get the accent in the wrong place, it might mean something different. Well, I think in some ways, all my life, I think I've read this story with the accent, not necessarily on the wrong syllable, but on a very different one. It needs to be moved over just a little bit. Always, our emphasis seemingly has been to put emphasis on the disciples, their reaction, what did they do? But the miracle of the story is Jesus. And indeed, it is a miracle story, not just because he caused a great swarm of fish, but just the miracle was Jesus simply being there. The eternal love of God, the Christmas story personified, stood before those disciples. Can you imagine what if Messiah, the Son of the living God, physically stood before us? It is no wonder the disciples left everything. Think of that tug. Now, it can be done that we reject that. But I love the story of the rich young ruler, as sad as it is. He comes to Jesus and the Messiah, the eternal love, stands before the rich young ruler. It goes to all that you have. And then Jesus offered the rich young ruler an invitation he only gave to 12 other people. Then come follow me. And he couldn't. And he walked away. But you have to remember, when he walked away grieved, because he had stood before the eternal love of God, a miracle. He stood before a miracle. And it grieved him because he was tugged by it. The disciples were tugged by the miracle of the presence of Jesus, and they dropped everything
and they follow. And brothers and sisters, I believe with all of my heart, and our faith teaches us this, that maybe, perhaps not physically, but in no less a real way, the presence of the Son of God, the Christmas story, Jesus, stands before us at various times in our lives and calls us. Two times for certain. Baptism and the Mass. We might not remember our baptism, most of us, because we were babies, but our faith teaches us that at our baptism, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the eternal love of God, stood there and said, "You are mine forever. And whether you are faithful or faithless, I will be faithful to you. And I will never leave you out of my hand." And for all of our life, all of our life, we're taught that we cannot go far from that tie. We've been in the very a miracle at our baptism, the presence of Jesus. I remember once, again, as a young teenager, going to a men's Bible study. And there was an older man, 35 at the time, who was a dentist in town. And he had this, what I would call conversion experience, but he just had a renewal of his faith. Everything had changed. His relationship with Jesus Christ became center in his life. But he did not like to say that it was a conversion experience. He said, "No, all I'm doing is rediscovering my baptism. The faith that was given to me at baptism, and I so appreciate that of him now. And everything," he said, "in my life has changed." Except, it's interesting, he said, "Unlike the disciples' call, I'm not leaving my vocation or my family or my town. But the conversion, the relationship is just dramatic. I'm going to gold plate what I already have. I'm called to stay with my vocation as a dentist, to stay where I am in this town. But it's all changed. Because Jesus Christ is now the center of my life. My motivation, my inspiration has changed. I'm a new person." What a beautiful thing. No less a dramatic call. He had to leave his net. He gold-plated what he had. I think for 95% of us, that's what we do in our religious life when we come to new awareness of the love of Jesus in our life. We stick with what we have, but we gold-plate. The other place that our Lord stands before us, in no less a real way than in this story, is at the Mass. See, the Mass is a miracle. One of the greatest miracles of Christianity is the Mass. And yet it's so familiar to us, and as it should be. We come each and every Sunday. We say the same prayers and words. It becomes common, and yet it is a miracle. One day I remember as a few years ago, not in this parish, in another, I got tongue-tied in the Eucharistic prayer. And one of the parishioners afterwards said, "It's not like you don't say the same thing every Sunday." And it becomes so familiar to us. But we are promised that in the Mass, the miracle of the Mass is that Jesus fulfills the promise of the Last Supper and that first Sunday church, which is when you come with these common elements of bread and wine, I will stand before you no less than I stood before the disciples. My very presence will be given to you. And we believe that. We believe that. That's why we, when they're all possible, it's important never to miss the opportunity to receive the Mass. Because Jesus stands before us as he stood before the disciples. On those boats. He calls us to come serve. And that's what the word of the Mass means. In Latin, it just and simply means to go. The last thing we say, go to the world to rejoice in the power. We have various things we say, but also go into the world. Let us go in peace. We're called as with the disciples. So, allow this story today to bathe us and to know that the miracle of our Lord's presence with the disciples is with us so many times in our lives. Especially at baptism, and every time we come together for Mass.